this isn't just something for people who are in legal disputes. It's really for anyone and any group that has conflicts, which basically means everyone in the world, you know, humanity needs to know how to work through conflict better. So we want to take that every possible way. And the way to do that is by having a lot more teachers that can teach this model. And then the people that they teach can also spread it. So it becomes kind of like a ripple in a pond.
The Center for Understanding and Conflict welcomes you to The Other Chair, a monthly podcast exploring the dynamics of conflict and how to bring the human issues to the table. Together with our guests, we explore how the power of understanding each other can lead to better solutions for people on both sides of an issue. We will also share tips for managing your own mediation practice, approaching conflict in the professional world, and ways to apply our understanding-based model in your personal life. Hello to our listeners, and welcome to The Other Chair. My name is James Dykeman. Today's guest is Catherine Connor, director and trainer at the Center for Understanding and Conflict and an attorney practicing mediation and collaborative practice in Santa Rosa, California. The subject of today's episode is the teacher training program here at the center, now in its second year and beginning a new cohort in 2024. Hello, Catherine, and welcome to The Other Chair.
Hello, James, and thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. I think this is the first podcast. We've almost been doing this for a year now, and this is the first time that you've joined us. So thank you for making the time to come and talk about the teacher training program. So let's jump right in. We're going into the second cohort, but really going into the third year of the teacher training program. Can you give our listeners a little bit of background about what the program is and how it came to be?
We had the idea of a teacher training program for probably the last 6, 7, 8 years. The center was started by Gary Friedman and Jack Himmelstein, and they taught together for many years. And then Catherine Miller from the East Coast and I on the West Coast joined them in teaching. And then more recently, Melanie Rowan has joined us in teaching. And what we realized was that there really wasn't a formal way that new teachers were learning how to teach the center's model and using the center's style of teaching. And we wanted to have something that was a more comprehensive way of bringing people into teaching and also to expand the available teachers to a much broader group. With different backgrounds and different interests and how they wanted to be teaching. And so after talking about it for several years, we took the leap to actually creating a very comprehensive program. And so that's what started in 2022 with our first cohort of 24 people. And the idea is to look at a number of different aspects of teaching. Both just how do you teach in the way that we do it, which is a very interactive model where it's not just talking heads, but really looking at how do we do it, giving people the chance to try it out, giving feedback. So that's one piece of it. A second is actually teaching people about the model itself and all the components of it. And the third is to guide people to look at themselves and how their inner experience relates to teaching and how to be a teacher. So we put all that information into a program that lasted for about 60 hours of time together, plus work that the teachers in training did outside of our actual full meetings.
What are the types of individuals that have come to learn how to teach this, the center's model of conflict resolution, and where are they applying it? Is everyone coming because they specifically want to have training programs of their own?
There's a big variety of people that were part of our first cohort, and we expect will probably be in the future. So we've had a number of teachers that work in very large corporations and that have set up or wanting to set up mediation programs within their organization. And so they wanted to learn how to teach to bring that back to their organization. We've had people that are interested in bringing this model to different venues or different places, such as churches or synagogues, in schools, in community organizations. We also have had someone that's came in and wasn't quite sure how they were going to teach, but ended up teaching in a number of different ways in governmental entities. So one of the ones I remember is she did a class about how to deal with conflict to people who were doing parking tickets. And so you can imagine they probably get into quite a bit of conflict. So there's basically, there's so many ways that people are in conflict. It's part of human experience. And so to be able to teach people how to do it differently comes up in almost every possible way. And then we have people who are lawyers and are wanting to bring the model to other lawyers, mental health professionals. So it's really, if you can imagine a place where there's conflict and people are helping others through conflict and want to learn to do that better and differently, that's really the range of people that have come to the program.
Let's talk about the process of learning how to be a teacher in and of itself. There's obviously the unique aspect of the center's model, the understanding-based model of conflict resolution, but what makes the teaching style unique? Or rather, if someone takes a 40-hour training program, what do they still need to know to then go and teach people what it is that they learned during that program?
I really look at that as, in a sense, two different questions. So one question is, what would someone learn more than what they learn in the 40-hour program? So the basic 40-hour program is really just a start to learning about the model and how to apply it. I don't know quite where the 40-hour requirement came up. It seems to be widespread in mediation programs around the United States. Like if you get the 40 hours of training, you're set to be a mediator. And it really takes a lot more than that. And in comparison, in Germany, I think it's a 200-hour requirement. So if someone's taken the 40-hour training, they really need to take a much deeper dive into all the concepts that we teach. And we have 6 underlying concepts. We spend time with each of them, really trying to understand how do they impact helping people work through conflict. And at the same time, actually, how do they apply to their teaching? And then we have, about 35 different modules or lessons, you might call them, that have different ways of teaching them. And so we go through many of those modules and go deeper into them in terms of the content, why we're doing it, what modes of teaching we use. So it might be interactive, it might be a demonstration, a role play, coaching people after they've tried a role play, small group discussion, pair discussion, large group discussion. So we go through each of those ways of teaching and talk to the teacher trainees about just, how to do them, but also how you integrate them together into a class or a course.
Conflict manifests itself in many ways in our personal lives, for professionals in the workplace and for practitioners who have made a career bringing together parties in conflict through mediation practice. Each month, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts live webinars with featured guests discussing best practices and sharing their experiences for tackling conflict using the understanding-based model. And what sort of emphasis is there on adult learners, on being able to approach different learning styles and really make an impact with the way adult learners receive information?
That's a really good question, because it is quite different when you're teaching adults rather than children, which is adults want to, first of all, they want to learn out of their own experience and their own needs. So one of the things that you need to do is figure out, why are they there, and to look at the motivation and what's going to be important for them to learn at the end. So that's why you'll see for many adult courses, there are learning objectives. And so we go through those with the people that are our teacher trainees about how to create learning objectives and how to think about learning objectives so that you have a very specific goal in mind. And then there are different ways that people learn. So do you learn by being very interactive with people and trying things out? Or do you learn by hearing concepts? Do you learn better by hearing or looking at something? Do you learn by analogy? So there's many different ways that people learn. And so we want to bring the information to our teacher trainees so that when they're creating a flow, an outline of a program, they're making sure they touch each of those different ways of learning, because it's almost a certainty, and I might say it's 100% certainty, that you're going to have different ways of learning in a room. So you want to not just do one type of learning. That's why I go absolutely nuts when I go to a program and all I have is people talking at me. And that's the only way of learning, because that's not my favorite way of learning. So we want to make sure that we really mix that up and teach people how to do that.
So you bring up a good point about one-way communication versus two-way and engaging communication. How is the teacher training program structured to take into account one-on-one time for mentorship and personal development and feedback throughout the teacher trainee's journey in the program?
So we try to incorporate into the teacher training program those same principles I was just telling you about, which is people learn in different ways. So we have, because we're going to be spread out. In fact, our last group, we had people from other countries as well as within the United States. We have just two in-person sessions, and then we also have online sessions. So within each time frame, we may have some pair discussion. We have people practicing teaching and getting feedback, both in smaller groups and in the large group. We have people work with what we call a buddy, which is one of the other teacher trainees. It might be two, but it's a very small group that meet with between sessions and sometimes in the in-person sessions to talk about what's going on with them, what's their experience of the program, what's a struggle for them, what's their challenges, and to create a, you know, a deeper relationship with each other, so they can be giving each other very honest feedback and create a camaraderie as they're learning how to teach, which is for many people something they've never done in their lives, and they actually need that support from their fellow learners and to feel like they're kind of in the same boat together and learning and struggling and making mistakes, and all of that is okay. And then we also have what we call office hours, where it's just an open hour for the teachers to be available, and the teacher trainees can come. It's optional, but typically we have anywhere from 6 to 10 people showing up at any one office hour. They're done monthly, and to ask whatever questions they want and ask for help from either the teacher or their fellow teacher trainees. They might bring in some ideas for a course they're going to teach, an outline, or they're just struggling with some piece of it and they want to get feedback. One of the things that we include is a teaching project. So everybody going through the program finds a 2-hour, essentially a 2-hour class that they're going to do. And so they have to figure out what they want to teach. They have to find some people to teach it to. And then in the office hours, there's a lot of support around helping to put that together. And then for many of them, what they did was then invite their fellow teacher trainees to be observers of the 2-hour class that they do, if that's possible, either geographically or online, and then be giving them feedback. So we think it's actually really important for teachers to learn how to give themselves feedback, but also to give and receive it from their fellow teacher trainees as well as the instructors.
So you bring up a good point about self-reflection. I understand that self-reflection is an important part of this entire year-long process. Would you like to talk a little bit more about the role that that plays in the program?
Self-reflection is actually important both in the model itself and in the teacher training. So I'm going to start with the model and then I'll talk about teacher training. So within the model, we think that it's really a critical skill for people who are working, helping others go through conflict, whether it's mediators or other types of conflict resolution processes, to be aware of what's going on inside of them. The reactions they're having, the experience they're having, are they creating a wall between them and one or more of the parties because of their reactivity, their bias? Are they leaning strongly to one person because they feel a very strong connection. They haven't created it with the other person. So we spend time teaching that to people, to the learners that come to our basic trainings and our advanced trainings. It's equally important as a teacher that you have the same capacity to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. Again, because it can affect your connection to your learners, and it can affect how you teach. And one of our, the way our program was done, we had our first year in 2022, then our second year was looking into taking deeper dives into some concepts. And one of the days we did was a day long on how does what's going on for you inside impact your teaching? You know, what are the things that you feel good about and you're doing? What are the things that are getting in the way from what's going inside of you? So anxiety, performance anxiety, imposter syndrome, a critical voice all the time, holding back from connecting to people. So we spent an entire day just trying to look at how that impacts what you're teaching. And we weave that throughout the whole course. So we're doing journaling. We give everybody a journal to start with and encourage them to be writing a lot about what they're learning. We have the buddies, part of their work is to look at what's going on inside. And so we weave it throughout the program because we think it's such a critical part of both conflict resolution and teaching.
Throughout the year, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts in-depth, basic, and advanced certificate programs designed to train you to become effective mediators and conflict resolution professionals centered in the understanding-based model. Our training programs have been the gold standard in alternative dispute resolution for 40 years and is popular within the legal community with human resource professionals, ombudsmen, and corporate workplace mediation clients.
You mentioned a full-day program. Could you talk a little bit more about how the first year was structured? It sounds like there was a mix of kind of shorter and some a little bit longer online programs, maybe some in-person and full-day programs. How is all that structured over the course of a year?
So in the first cohort in 2022, we had, I believe it was 7 online meetings that were 3 hours each. And then we had 2 3-day meetings. So they went from a Thursday afternoon through a Sunday afternoon, because we felt it was really important to have those in-person times. It's a different experience. It's more relaxed in the sense of we're not trying to cram everything into 3 hours, but we did pack those 3 days, but it's a different experience to be in person, to be teaching in person, to have the conversations together. So it was a mix of those. And then, as I said, there was the teaching project, which happened outside of those specific timeframes. Now, in our next program, we've decided we're going to add another hour to the online. We're going to actually have another session because the feedback we got and we experienced was it was not quite long enough, 3 hours, and now we're going to have 4 hours for the online ones. The in-persons will be the same, but we're trying to adjust and adapt the program from the feedback that we received from the 2022 participants.
So you make another interesting point about online versus in-person. Does part of the teacher training program address the dynamics of teaching in an online capacity versus an in-person one, or how to balance those or approach them as the situation may warrant?
Yes, we definitely cover that. And we talk about it during the first year. And then in the second year, we actually did a 2-hour kind of look at and paying attention to what's different when you're teaching online. Now, what's interesting is when in the first year, when we're doing the online meetings, part of every single online is people teaching. And so they're teaching online. So we're giving them feedback that is generally about teaching, but also may relate to how they're doing it online. Because there are some differences just in how you interact with people, what you do with your body. There's just some aspects of it that we want to make sure that people pay attention to. And they're getting the experience of doing that because we're having online meetings where they're teaching.
When the program first launched and individuals were invited to apply, what was the process like? Did they just go online and sign up, or was there more to it than that?
We had an online application that they needed to complete that gave us some information about their background. And we asked them to do a 3-minute video talking about why they were interested in the program. And that was because we felt that just looking at what somebody wrote, you don't really get a feel for them and who they are and, you know, their interest and their enthusiasm. And so we wanted to have information from them both in writing, but also that we could see. So that's why we asked them to do video. And then the teachers met together and created our first cohort. And then after we did that, the teachers between us, we met with each one of the teacher trainees. So I didn't meet with all 24, but I met with a third of them and the other teachers met with a third. So we had the opportunity to have a one-on-one meeting as we got started with every one of the people who are going to be our teacher trainees.
So what was the thinking behind having somewhat of a selective process where individuals would apply to join the teacher training program rather than just being able to go online and sign up like most of our other programs at the center?
So we anticipated that we would have more people interested in the program than we had room, because we were limiting it to 24, because we actually find that to be a really good size, even for our basic trainings, but also just in terms of capacity for teaching and the places where we're going to be. So we expected we would have more applications than 24. And in fact, we did do that. So we wanted to be able to create a cohort of people, first of all, from various different backgrounds. We didn't want it to just be whoever signed up first. We actually wanted it to be a very broadly based program with people that really resonated with the model and had a high motivation and enthusiasm for being able to learn more about the model and teach it and being able to take it out into the world. And so that's why we wanted to be able to really look for that motivation, that enthusiasm, and a broad base of people that would spread it, the model, as far as possible, rather than just, I mean, let's say the first 20 people signed up were from the West Coast. Well, we would actually not want that to happen. We want it to be much more broadly based, in the same thing in terms of their professional background and their personal background, their where they come from. Because we think it's really important to have a teaching group that can connect to people all different places and backgrounds. And to do that, you need people that come from many different backgrounds and cultures and places.
This podcast is supported by our CUC Connect members, whose yearly membership includes free attendance to our live monthly webinars, 12 additional featured recordings of past training events, discounts to our basic and advanced training programs, and support from our network of certified trainers for continued professional development. Consider joining CUC Connect today and dive deeper into the understanding-based model. So it sounds like the first year of the first cohort of the teacher training program was successful. Many people graduated from that. A good amount of them stayed on in the second year to take advanced training programs. Now that that's coming to a close, what sort of feedback have you gotten from individuals who went through the program and have now begun to apply it in whichever way they set out to do that?
The feedback for the program overall was outstanding. And people love the program, both for what they learned about the model, which now many of us said, we gave them a very comprehensive manual, and we've gotten feedback from people. They keep the manual handy, so when they're doing their own conflict resolution work, they can look at it, and they might finish a mediation, like, there was something I was missing there, or something I wanted to think about. They go to the manual, and like, oh, this is what it was. So it changed the quality of their actual work on the ground. They also said they learned a lot about how to teach in a very different way. For people that had been teaching already, they learned how to do it in a way that was much more effective. I remember one person saying, I didn't really get it how important and how to do interactive group discussion before, and that's really made a difference. Or I didn't really understand how role plays function and how to make those work well and for the learners to learn as much as possible. So they learned a lot about their teaching. They're using what they learned in a lot of different ways. So some people are going to be teaching in our programs, doing basic teaching. Some people, for example, are one of our core skills is the loop of understanding, what we call looping. They're teaching looping to various different people. So we have a couple of our teachers from the 2022 cohort that are about to teach looping to a college class. We've had people that teach it in various capacities in a citywide citywide governmental organization. We have people that are using it to teach other people within their organization. So the feedback we've gotten is it's really taken them to a different level of both understanding the model and how they can teach other people how to use it.
2023 is coming to a close, and I understand that the center is looking forward to the next teacher training cohort that's coming together next year. Do you want to give us a little bit of a sneak peek as to what that's looking like? And if people are interested, how would they let you know?
Yeah, so we're going to be starting another program that will be a 10-month program. So we'll be starting in February with an online session. And then we'll be having monthly online meetings other than in the month of April and the month of November, when we'll be having in-person sessions. And it's going to be similar to what we did before, but with the adaptations and enhancements that we've made based on the feedback from our 2022 participants. And so we'll be basically doing the same focus on learning more about the model, learning how to teach in the manner that we do that, and learning about yourself and in self-reflection. So it'll be a lot of the same themes, and the materials will be similar, but somewhat upgraded from our feedback. And so the applications are open now. They'll be open until the end of November. And then, and again, it's the same written application and a video. And then the teachers will be looking at all of that and making decisions about who will be accepted into the program in mid-December. And then again, we'll be doing a personal one-on-one meeting with each of the people who have been accepted to find out their particular interests, go a little bit more than what we've been able to find out from their applications before we start up the program in February.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for being here today to share the CUC teacher training program with our listeners, along with insights and outcomes from past participants. Appreciate your time.
James, for inviting me. It's really been an amazing program. And I actually didn't say this at any point, but I think one thing to really bring to everyone's attention is how the 2022 cohort formed a strong bond with each other and a very strong group. They use WhatsApp, they ask each other questions. And so there's not only the learning they have, but that strong community that's been formed, and that it's now our teaching community that I'm hoping will be even further enhanced by the next cohort, the 2024 cohort. So thank you for inviting me to be able to talk about this program that's meant so much for both our organization and the people that have already gone through it, and hopefully for the people that might do it in the future.
Catherine Connor's practice focuses on family law, alternative dispute resolution, including mediation, collaborative practice, and settlement counsel. She is co-author of the book, Collaborative Family Law Practice Materials. You can learn more about Catherine's practice at www.clrob.com. Thank you to today's guest for being with us today, and to our CUC Connect members, whose support enables the Center for Understanding and Conflict to bring new perspectives in the field of conflict resolution and mediation to you, our listener, in each new episode. You can find out more about today's episode, along with full interviews and additional information about conflict resolution and mediation using the understanding-based model at www.understandinginconflict.org.